Need to put a warning label on this morning's message. You know, it's like those pharmaceuticals ads that have, you know, may cause possible side effects, spontaneous combustion, inflation of the eyes, something like that. So there's a warning label on this morning that this morning's message may be detrimental to your sense of serenity for the rest of the week. Yeah. You're out? Particularly, you know, this is like the warning labels to, you know, pregnant mothers and things. If you suffer from anything like obsessive compulsive disorder or autism spectrum disorder and you tend to perseverate, you may want to join the children's ministry because there's going to be some problems with today. Yeah. That's just, I'm warning you, okay? I've absolved the church of all liability. Proceed at your own risk. Good. So this week, a few days ago, I woke up with Liza Minnelli and Joel Gray in my head. Yeah, it was crowded. They're little. Joel Gray especially, right? When I say Joel Gray and Liza Minnelli, for those of you who are over 40, what do you hear? How's it? Yep. Now how's that go? Old chum, yeah? Come to the cabaret. Right? Don't you be sitting alone in your room. Come where, and it's around in my head. I wake up with, come where the music plays. And I'm like, I haven't heard this song since the 70s. And I'm seeing Liza Minnelli doing the thing, you know. I have no idea where this came from. It was like Yellowstone National Monument mud pits. It just like, it just kept boiling up. And I'm trying to scrub my head. I'm reciting praise songs. I'm doing anything I can to try to get something else in my head because I don't. Come to the cabaret, old chum. And stop it. Stop it. I started humming the theme from Gilligan's Island. You know? It's terrible. Then I had Gilligan and Liza Minnelli and Joel Gray all in my head. And so I'm seeing Liza Minnelli, you know, with the ships aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle with Gilligan. Come to the cabaret. Oh, no. So I wanted to drill a hole in my head and let them out, but I couldn't do it. And that's the nature of music sometimes, that it's programmed in. It operates in different parts of our brains than language, per se. And it's just got this pattern in there, and it does its pattern thing. And then every once in a while, you have no idea what has triggered it. Did I hear two notes of that during that day somehow? And when I slept on it, I woke up with cabaret. I have no idea, but it was there and it came back. Because some of those things are so viral that they just appear. They're like meningitis or hepatitis. Right? It lays in there like a virus in your spinal fluid, and then it expresses itself. And out it comes. And musicians are evil people, generally, particularly composers, right? Because they know this works, and they do it on purpose. Dum, 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 dum. Oh, that's not enough. Not enough for Beethoven. Dum 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 dum. Like, how many instruments can you get to go dum 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 dum? It's dum 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 dum. See what I did there? Yeah. In composition, this is a motif. You know, it's this little tiny composition of just a few notes that that becomes the like spine, the backbone, the architecture of a larger composition. And that's how musicians do it. They get a little ditty stuck in their head. Imagine Beethoven when he first kind of went, bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum, bum. I'm going to bother generations of people. You know, except he said it in German. I told you it's going to do this. You're going to be hearing this, right? When a symphony takes up a motif, it takes up these little musical expressions. It's just a little line and an expression, but it revisits it. So it'll take it and embed it in a larger frame. And then it'll one section of the symphony or the orchestra will drop it off for another one. And then it'll be explored through slowing it down, speeding it up, putting in different keys, a different modality. So and it just keeps going around and around and around to try to get the hearer to experience the different angles and facets of this little motif. So it's not just a motif, it develops into an entire idea. And you feel and you hear this thing from angle after angle after angle. It's like Bolero, right? Dun, da, da, da. Take it up. Now take it bigger. Now add horns. Now put drums. Right? Evil. Evil, evil people. You can't get out of it. Then add Bo Derek and it gets worse. Now it's really stuck in your head. That's for all of you who grew up in the 70s again. Thank you. Yeah. And this isn't limited to musical arts, but it's found very frequently. Think about Andy. How many of you have seen a reproduction of Andy Warhol's Campbell's Soup that launch out into pop art, where he takes a Campbell's Soup can and then varies it and varies it and varies it and varies it, changes the tones just a little bit each time. And you get this overwhelming sense of a Campbell's Soup can. And it's the mass production of it. Everybody's got a Campbell's Soup can in their cupboard. And they're all over, and it's all these variations on exactly the same soup. So it's exactly the same and subtly different every time. And so you feel a Campbell's Soup can. You can go to your cupboard and do that, too, if you want. But think about culinary arts. Anybody ever watch Iron Chef? Isn't that a cool show? Have you seen it a lot of times? Have you seen it a lot of times? Okay, what's your favorite episode? Episode 13. That doesn't help me. What were they using in that episode? Dragon fruit. A fruit with, like a star fruit kind of a thing? Yeah. So like dragon fruit, that's easy to do. Just get a bag of apples. Right, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll pay you that 20 later. Dragon fruit, that's the same thing that happens to Iron Chef. They say, here's this one thematic motif. Here's this one item, and now visit it and revisit it and turn it into a main dish, use it as a dessert, froth it into foam, shoot it to the moon, do whatever you're doing, but just always use dragon fruit or star fruit or some weird fruit that has no taste, or durian fruit. For those of you how many of you have ever tried durian fruit? Oh, it's like, what did Kim just had it down in Malaysia. Please pray for Kim. She's still in Malaysia. Warm onion ice cream. That's what if you add the flavor of old salt, old socks, and garlic, that's durian fruit. It's illegal to open one on a train in Singapore. $50,000 fine for opening a durian fruit on the train in Singapore. Yeah, it's that bad. Nasty stuff. Sorry for any of you who are Filipino here, okay? But that's the way it works. So in each of these, you take this motif and you explore it, and you work around it, and you move it, and that way you get to experience it a whole bunch of different things. And in advertising, right? In advertising, when they do this, it's called a jingle. Ready? Plop, plop. What's that for? Alka-Seltzer. Good. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back. Okay? Right? Chili's, baby back ribs. Right? Baby back ribs.
Barbecue sauce.
Right? Isn't that fun? Two all beef patty special sauce, less cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun. Got it? I wish I were... That is what I truly like to be, right? My baloney has a first name.
It's O-S-C-A-R.
My baloney has a second name.
It's N-U-Y-E-R.
Right? I love to eat it. And if you ask me why, I'll say... Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Horrible, isn't it? Evil people doing evil things. You deserve a break today. So get out and get away to McDonald's. You guys don't remember that one? They did that one a whole bunch of times. Run around in your head. You can't. What's that? I'm a Toys R Us. Come on. I am stuck on. Okay. There goes the serenity of your week. I'm telling you right now, there goes the serenity of your week. Because when you're on Wednesday going, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, I want my baby. Stop it! Scrub my head, please! Okay, but that's the way those things work. Same way with in pop composition, although in pop composition, rock composition, very frequently, you don't use the motif all the way through, but you come back to it in a way that repeats on itself. As a refrain. So this chorus, this refrain ends up being the backbone of the song. And when it's built rightly, it moves right back on itself, and the concluding note is frequently either highly related to the beginning note or is the beginning note itself. And this is called a... Come on. It's a hook. A hook, a refrain, a hook. Beat it. That's why we have these songs that we know, and we don't know all the words, and we go, no, 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 beat it, beat it. She's the dancing queen. All right. The dancing queen. That's where everyone learns falsetto. That's where the whole world learned falsetto, right there, you know? I love
rock and roll.
Put nothing.
I
love
rock and roll.
La, 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 la. Yeah, there you go. Yep, that's it. It's terrible. Dum, 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 dum. Dum 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 la dum.
Pressure.
Oh, no pressure. These things get covered over and over again in other expressions just because they are so hooky, you know? It's It's, I wanna hold your hand. Yeah, right? And the rest of the song goes, I wanna hold your hand. That's it. Yeah, see, there goes your week. I told you. There are, we've been, for those of you who haven't been here, we've been covering God's vinyl. And there's a refrain that's like this that runs through a number of passages in the scripture. It's this recurrent hook in the compositions of ancient Israel. It's a short little ditty that is the essential message. And that's why advertisers or musicians or artists use these things, because it's a way to embody an entire message in just one little tiny ditty that can be remembered and can be visited and explored. So you know what McDonald's sells if you know Two Old Beef Patties. You know what the whole song is about by ABBA. Right? It's about a dancing queen. Do you know what? She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you. And you know that can't be. She loves you. And you know you should be glad. You know what that whole thing is about just from this one little tiny thing. And the rest of it in some ways is peripheral and simply decoration. Because it's exploring that one little bit. Okay? And I want us, we're going to skim across a number of compositions. We're not going to look at just one song, but we're going to look for this compositional motif, this theme, Israel's hook, Israel's refrain, the thing that kept coming back to it, the thing that God embedded in their worship so that it would be pervasive and embody the architecture of all of its worship. So if you would, please. Psalm 100. She loves you, yeah, yeah. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generation. Man, we could just spend a long time just on that one. It's like a jacuzzi to hear those words. It's like, oh, thank you, I needed that. But look over at just a little bit further, Psalm 106. Keep that last little bit of 100 in mind and look over at Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty doings of the Lord or declare all this praise? Happy are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you deliver them, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory in your heritage. Drop over to Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Drop down to verse 31. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Drop over to Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say, drop over to Psalm 138. 138. I will give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the one thing that the Lord wants you to get. If you don't get anything else, yes, there's lots of embellishment in the Christian life. There's lots of doctrine. We read a whole bunch of stuff. Do you remember all the other stuff in those Psalms? No. What do you remember? His steadfast love endures forever. That is what the Lord wants you to know. There's all kinds of things to learn about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the God the Father, and what he's doing in the world. There's all kinds of neat stuff. But the one thing that the Lord wants you to walk away with is his steadfast love endures forever. You're going to mess it up. And when that happens, he has a hook that he wants you to come back to. His steadfast love endures forever. Each of these psalms recounts Israel's wandering, and he led them through the desert, and they did the wrong thing, and his steadfast love endures forever. And they encountered troubles along the way, and they were beaten down by their enemies, and his steadfast love endures forever. And they were worried out of their minds and fearful and oppressed, and his steadfast love endures forever. And there's one thing the Lord wants you to come back to over and over and over and over and over and over again, and that's his steadfast love for you is not going to go away. You can't break that. Israel tried every which way. I mean, they exhausted variations on a theme of rebellion. But we keep trying to improve, you know? And he's like, I love you, I love you, I love. How many ways can I show you I love you? I love you, 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 I love you. His steadfast love endures forever. Yeah. And that he's going to walk you through this thing. Like 1 Peter says, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Or, after you have suffered for a little while, the Lord will confirm you and strengthen you and establish you. That's his plan for you, because his steadfast love endures forever. And you're not getting away. Now, that might be a little disruptive for your serenity of mind, but you are not getting away. His steadfast love endures forever. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. I threw him a right hook this morning. So right before snap, I'm like, can you guys work on a little thing right here for us now? So big round of applause for the worship team. Here's how this is going to work. Please turn to Psalm 136. This is a karaoke song. Karaoke. Oops, sorry. That's okay. Come on up. It's a clap along and a stand along. So please stand and prepare your hands to clap. Ready? Huh?
Can we wait for Harley?
Yeah, you're going to get Harley?
One more minute.
Yep. Okay. You guys can vamp now.
Do church.
Do it.
Come on, Francine, get up here.
Come on, Francine.
Yay. You know it. You know this song. Love
there we go. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders? Who by his understanding made the heavens?
Steadfast love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth on the waters?
Steadfast love endures forever.
Who made the great lights?
Steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule the day, the moon, stars to rule the night.
Steadfast love endures forever.
Who struck Egypt through their firstborn and brought Israel out from among them? What a strong hand and an outstretched arm who divided the sea in two. Made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew the Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Who led the people through the wilderness and struck down great kings. Sihon and Og, king of Bashan. Gave their land as a heritage to his servant Israel. It's he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes. Who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. That's right, people. Thank you, worship team.
Thank you.
Why do we give thanks to the Lord? That's right. So much so, if you just, 2 Chronicles 5, it says that Solomon, you want to turn there? Solomon built this massive temple. In fact, let's turn there. Built this massive temple, and he brought in the singers. 2 Chronicles 5. Way to go, worship team. Yeah. Now, when the priests came out of the holy place, verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 5, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to the divisions. All the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, their sons and kindred arrayed in fine linen with the cymbals, harps, lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests with trumpets. It was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison, in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with the trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. This is so central that when they sing that tune, the Lord goes, I'm showing up. And if you want the Lord to show up in your life in dark holiness, a cloud, and to fill your life in a way that you can't even hardly minister, you just cling to this refrain this week. Revisit it and revisit it. Let it fill your week. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Because he loves you. Yeah. 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 He loves you. Yeah. 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 Because his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Oh, sorry. Kathy is. Oh, come on. Do it.